Good morning.
Good morning.
So, hello everyone, nice to meet you. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Amy, and if you want to know any more than that, I'll chat to you afterwards. But you are very, very welcome to be here. Just a quick shout before we get going. If you don't have a Bible and you're going to want one, we've got spare ones at the back. You can give a little wave and somebody will bring you a Bible if you need one. So have a wave and Neil will bring you a Bible to borrow. So just before we kick off, I'm going to pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that this morning is all about you, just you. Lord, I ask that any words that come out of my mouth that are not of you, Lord, that they will be lost and forgotten. And just everything that is of you, God, will be all that is remembered. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're starting a new series this week. And as you can see, we've got a new sign up. And we're doing a new series just between July and August called Signposts to Jesus. And I'm kicking it off today. Now, what we'll be doing is we'll be looking at various things in the Old Testament that are pointing towards Jesus. But I have to say now, like disclaimer, there is so much and so many that we've only picked out one or two. Don't think, please, that this is it. These are the only things where Jesus is signposted in the Bible, because it's not. It is there all the way through. But we've just pulled out a few. And we're starting today. We're going to kick off looking at Genesis. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. So if you've got a Bible, if you've borrowed a Bible, one of the church ones, it's on page 8. But we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12 and just 9 verses, verses 1 to 9. So if you go to page 8, you'll find the big number 12. And then we're going to go from there, number 1 to 9. And it says, God is calling again. Nope. It says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards Negev. So it's just a little bit of a story there about this guy called Abram, who later on, God changes his name to Abraham. So it seems a bit confusing now, but Abram is Abraham. But we're not going to go into that now, but he does get his name changed later. So that's just to avoid the confusion. It is one person, not two people. But this is a very small but very, very key moment in a much, much, much bigger story. This point where God speaks to Abraham. It's a small event but very important in a really, really big story. And today I want us to look at the big picture to see where this fits in into that story. And we're going to zoom through really quickly on this big picture. So it's going to be a very light touch. And there's loads of details in each of these things that you can explore later for yourself. But we're just going to go, we're just going to do a zoom, okay, today. Just zoom, zoom, zoom. So the big picture is all about, this story is all about God's relationship with the human beings that he created, you and I. This is what the story is about. And we know, those of you that know the Bible, it began with God creating Eve and Adam and placing them in a beautiful, beautiful garden called Eden. In that place, they knew God in a way that we still don't, because they saw him face to face. They were perfect, these two. They were completely dependent on him. He provided everything for them. And it says he walked with them. He walked with them and he talked with them. But they were tempted and they decided that they didn't want to be dependent on God, but they wanted self-rule. They wanted to be in charge of their own lives, thank you very much. And pride sent them down a path that broke that relationship with God. And it gave Satan ownership of them and of the world instead. And it meant that they had to leave the garden. They had to leave this perfect place. And as generations went on, the people, the generations became increasingly evil and destructive. Because by their actions, evil had entered the world and death had come upon the earth. Before this point, they would have lived forever. But because of it, they brought death onto our earth. So, God stepped in. He began all over again with a good man. But it was demonstrated very, very quickly that this man and his family, again, as they continued on and started new generations, very, very quickly humanity returned to its prideful and depraved and sinful nature. It wasn't enough. It proved that being good is not good enough. But we already knew God had another and a greater and a better plan, but one that would be very, very costly to himself, to God himself. And that plan was set in place with Abraham, and the meeting that we have just read about, because this is where it all started, where God met with this man, an ordinary, nothing special bloke, and God chose him and picked him out and said, I am going to make some promises to you, make some solemn vows. And these promises are ongoing today. They are still having an effect now, today, as we speak. We're only sitting here because of them. And so that first promise, part of the first vow, the promise that he made to Abraham, was this, back into verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, he said. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, at the point when God said this to Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old. His wife Sarai was just a little bit younger, and they didn't have children. So, like, okay, this seems absolutely impossible at this point. How on earth is Abraham going to be made into a great nation? How is he going to have kids who are going to have kids who are going to have kids if she hasn't had a child in 70 plus years? But this is God who's speaking. We have to remember that. This is God, the creator of the universe. He made them in the first place. He made us. Nothing is impossible with him. And this was God's words. I will do this. And so even though Abraham had no idea what was going to happen next. For us, this happened about just over 4,000 years ago. So we have the benefit of hindsight. We can see what's happened. We can see how this story unfolded, even though Abe's at the time, he had no idea. And we know that Abraham was given a son, Isaac. Isaac was then given, he had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob went on to have 12 sons. And Jacob's 12 sons then became the great, 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 great granddaddies of the 12 tribes of Israel. who went on to become a huge nation. Huge nation. So part one of that promise, tick. It's happened. What God said would happen has happened. And also, God used the Israelite people as a blessing throughout the history. If you read through the Old Testament again and again, you will see where God picks out his Israelite people and he uses them not only to bless their own people, but also to bless the people around them and bless the nations. But the relationship with God remained broken. The world is not perfect. There is still death. People still failed and sinned and were prideful and deceitful and all the rest of it, including the Israelite nation. They kept falling on their feet. They kept falling over. They kept failing. And God kept picking them up, and then they kept failing, and then he kept picking them up, and they kept failing. You get the picture. It just went on and on. Because this wasn't the end. This wasn't the end of God's plan. Because just over 2,000 years after meeting with God, after Abraham met with God, another part of this blessing was answered. Because God had said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All the people on earth, not just the Israelite nation. And this is where God really stepped up the pace in the most astonishing way. And we've been talking about it all morning, because this is there 2,000 years after God and Abraham first had that chat. God stepped into the story personally and physically in the shape of Jesus. And he continued that promise, because Jesus was an Israelite. Is an Israelite. Jesus is legally descended from Abraham. Jesus is also completely and utterly God. And it was when Jesus came, and Liz has already said it, when Jesus came, when he walked this earth, when he was killed, when he died as a perfect human being and a God, he took all of that sin into himself. He made that exchange that we were talking about during communion. He took it for us. And what is so beautiful and so wonderful is that as he was dying, there was a man dying next to him on another cross, who realized somehow he was touched and he saw who Jesus really was and he understood. And he said, remember me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. I hoped Milan would be here, because paradise is a Persian word. And paradise is another name, another word that means God. Jesus said, you will be with me today in the garden. And that's a promise for us, because this goes forwards. I'm going to come back to that. But hold on to that thought. Because Jesus died and was resurrected. He came back to life to show us that death is defeated. That death is not the end. That he's the first one to come back to life, but he won't be the last, because the rest of us will be resurrected too. He will bring us back to life to be with him. In Galatians 3:14, it says, he, meaning Jesus, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. The Gentiles is us. We're the Gentiles, by the way. We're not Israelites. We're not of the Israelite nation. We are not the Jewish people. We are the Gentiles. But because of Jesus, because of his love, we are blessed too. We are introduced into that family. It goes on and it says that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come to us, would live in us and would be within us and part of us. Now, I know it's hot and I know we're like, woof. But I don't know. That, to me, that's exciting. That is so exciting. Wake up, guys. I am talking about, I'm going to put my teacher voice on. I am talking about the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. Go for it, dude. The creator of heaven and earth became a human being. Can you even get your brain around that? Because I can't. A human being. Tiny, less than a scrap of dust. But that's what he became for us, because of his love for us and his passion for us and his adoration of us. And then he died. He let us kill him. He could have just snapped his fingers and we would be vaporized. But no, he surrendered himself in humility and let us kill him so he could take all the crap that is in us that we've got and replace it with his blessing and his righteousness. And then not only that, he would then give us his spirit. That if you belong to him, if you are one of his kids, he lives in us. We are holy. Sometimes I think, especially if I'm walking along the beach, I think if I'm carrying God's holiness in me, surely the sand should fuse and turn into glass as I walk because of the holiness that is within me. He is holy and he has given that to us. He has brought us to the entire world, his spirit and his holiness. And it doesn't end there, because the promises are still ongoing. This promise is ongoing. This story is not over, because this isn't the only promise God made. There are many, many more, and many that haven't been fulfilled yet. And we're going to be looking at that at other times. But God is a God of his word, and we've seen that already through Abraham. He told Abraham, you, childless old man, are going to have a kid, and your bloodline is going to be a great nation, and one day that great nation is going to be the source of the bloodline that is going to save the entire world. 4,000, 2,000 years to Jesus, 4,000 years now to us, and it's still ongoing, because there are still people being born who God has chosen, that he wants for his own. But one day, that will finish. That will end. And he will return and get all his kids, and he will gather us all up to himself. Those of us that are sleeping in death, we will be brought back to life. Those who are still living on the earth, they will be caught up with him. And the garden will be restored. It's that big circle from Eden and back, that we will be restored back to Eden. Revelation 21 and 22, look it up later. But there is a promise there of a new heaven and a new earth. Eden restored, paradise for you and for me because of Jesus, because of our God who keeps his word and keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. I'll let that go. I know we're just a bit tired and a bit... We're still in that place, aren't we, as a group here, as a family, that we're a bit embarrassed sometimes about, like, showing our stuff or showing our feelings. It is okay to go, amen and hallelujah. Praise God. This is amazing. Don't hold it in. I don't care what other people think. You can think I'm an idiot. I don't care. I belong to Jesus. He loves me. Let's praise him and let's love him for what he is and what he's done. There are only two really small things I want to pull out, because this morning it's just a big view. But I want you to catch this big view. If you need to, take a picture of this with your phone and think about it later. Remember this massive story that is still ongoing for us. But two things I want to highlight, and they're really small things. But one is that little phrase in verse 4, it said, so Abraham went. So Abraham went. He had no idea. He had no kids. He had to leave everything he knew behind him. God said, go to the land I'm going to show you. He didn't even know what the land was or where it was yet. He was literally, in a sense, stepping off a cliff. He had no idea, but he obeyed because God met with him and spoke with him. And I think that there are some people here who need this encouragement this morning. You need these two words, trust, obey. That there is something you know you need to obey. That you've either read in the Bible or the Holy Spirit has nudged you about and you've been holding back. What's holding you back? What's holding us back? This morning, I've got some little tags and it just says, so Abraham went. You might need to come and get one of these later. Tuck it in your pocket, tuck it in your purse. Hold on to that to remind you I need to obey. Frankly, what's the worst that can happen? If you don't obey, nothing is going to happen. But if you do, like Abraham, oh my goodness, only God knows what he's going to do. Step out. It's not a risk if you step out in obedience to what he calls you to. The other thing is where it says, in verse 8, right near the end of the bit we've just read, it says, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now, an altar at this point was just a pile of rocks. Nothing magic, nothing special about these rocks. It was just, again, like Liz said this morning, the communion is something visual that God gives us. So we've got something to touch, something to see. Because as human beings, we need that because we are physical beings. We need things we can touch and see and hold on to make sense to us. When Abraham built an altar, this pile of stones was the same. It was like his little symbol of saying, this is so I remember. When I built these things, this is because of a reason. That's what it's there for. That's all it's about. Nothing magic. But he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Now, that phrase called on is a really, really amazing, rich phrase. You could do an entire Bible study just on that and where it's used again and again in the Old and the New Testament, where there are phrases that says, those who call on the name of the Lord. You'll be happy to know I'm not going to go through all of that this morning because that's not what we need to know today. But if you're interested, look it up. But it does, in its essence, it all means to worship God. It means to talk with God and it means to tell others about God. That's what it means. And the greatest thing we can do in response to this promise, in response to the fact that God is calling us, the best thing we can do is call on him. Call on the name of the Lord. We've been given in the Old Testament, God has lots of names that he uses to help us recognize him. But the greatest name that we've been given is Jesus. We can call on the name of Jesus and hold him to his promises and spend time with that. And I'm deliberately running through this because I want us to have the opportunity to call on him now. Whether it's in individuals, whether in pairs, whether in a group. And I've left my little baggie, I think in my handbag, of the bits that Jan's going to bring me. For some prompts. But we know that God, as a church, God is calling us to take prayer seriously, to call out to him. So we are going to obey that. And there are three promises I've just pulled out that God has given us, the God who keeps his word, for us that we might want to use these as prompts this morning, just to call out to him. And the first one is a promise in Jeremiah. And this is God. And God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He will meet with you If your desire is desperately to meet with him, if you're like, I really don't even know if God is real, but there's something in me that says, I really want to know, I really need him, this is for you. This promise, God says, if you really seek me, if you really want me, then you call out to me and I will meet with you. I can't promise how he'll meet with you. I don't know. Because he speaks to us all in many, many different ways. But he will answer that cry. For some of us, we know God, but we know we need him more. We desperately need him more. This might be the promise that you're going to hold on to this morning and say, meet with me. I need you more, Lord. I need more of you. The second one. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. And he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I've got it here if you want to take it later. It's from Matthew. That's explaining itself. And Lydia mentioned this morning as well. If you are burdened, you are weary, in a moment, I'm going to give you some time, but come and take this. Use this as your prompt, as your springboard, and say, God, you promised this, so would you answer it, please? It's as simple as that. You can just speak with him. Tell him about it. Tell him what it is. Tell him what's bugging you. He's big enough, he can take it. Tell him and see what he will do. And the third one is from John 7. And this is Jesus speaking again. And he says, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And I was so thrilled when Liz opened this morning by talking about refreshing, coming to God to be refreshed. I was like, yes, bring it on, because that's what I'm ending. What a neat circle is that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because we didn't chat about this.
She didn't intend to say that.
Oh, there you go. Liz didn't even know. She wasn't even meaning to say it. It was the Holy Spirit giving her a little kick and going, Liz, say this. Because you see, God is in control here. Not me, not Liz, but he is in control. And if you want more of the Holy Spirit, because living water here is just a poetic way of saying Holy Spirit. We know that. If you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit today, if you are drying out, if you are on your knees, take this one as your prompt and say, Lord, I need you again. I need you again, Holy Spirit. I need you to fill me. I want more of you. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. Then come and take this and use it as your prompt. In fact, I'm going to put them on the table because some people can't bend over that far and that's not fair. So I'm going to put them on here. And I've also got that Abraham went. In a moment, the band are going to come back and sing, and they're going to lead us in the time of worship, just one song about worshipping and calling on God. When they finish, just for like 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes, if you want to call out to God this morning, to call on his name, if you want to use these, feel free to come and take a piece of one of the verses to use as a prompt, or you can just pray. But come towards the front and we'll make sure there's some chairs here that are comfy for you and you can pray. If you don't want to pray, if you don't want to call out on God, it's absolutely fine. There will be coffee and tea for you at that moment. All I would ask is that you do it quietly, just while people are praying. Go and get your cup of coffee quietly. Have a little quiet chat or even go in the garden just for this 5-10 minutes while we're calling on Jesus. There's no judgment either way. Sometimes you'll need to, sometimes you won't. That's absolutely fine. We're all loved. But I'm going to pray now and then I'm going to ask the band to come up. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you that your story is so much greater than ours, that we are only a small part of the story of your redemption, the story of you loving us and choosing us and calling us back to you. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, that you would show us that you're real for those of us who are desperate, who don't get you. Holy Spirit, that you would come and move this morning, that you would come and bring blessing. I pray especially for those who are jaded and for those who are hurting, for those who are saying, if God really loved me, .. that you would come and bring your blessing, your comfort, that awareness of your arms around them, that this is not the end, that we live in hope, that Abraham went when he was still childless because he trusted you and he hoped you knew, that your disciples still lived in a broken world when you went back to heaven, and yet they had their hope and knew. Lord, that this morning, that whatever is going on, that we would have our hope in you renewed. In the name of Jesus. Amen.